Good afternoon. Welcome to Studs Up with me, Lee Nicholson. It is a sports show with a difference. It is the sports show where we delve recklessly, two-footed, into the big sporting issues of the weekend.
Post-match chatter with Lee Nicholson. It's Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
Let's talk Leeds United, and who better to help me ponder over the whites than diehard Leeds United fan Dom Pollard, who joins me on the line. Good afternoon, Dom.
Afternoon, Lee. You're well?
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad, mate. Not doing too bad at all. What about you? Are you managing to keep sane in the off-season?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you tend to find your love for cricket and all other things. I mean, just watching Ashes now, actually. But yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I must admit, I do find a little bit of solace in rugby league as well, so it's not all bad.
Oh, absolutely. And Super League's really hotting up at the moment, isn't it? There's some fantastic games in the offing. A little bit later on this afternoon, I'm going to be joined by a couple of the Cass Tigers players. I'm going to be speaking on the phone to Luke Gale as well, Super League Player of the Month. Cass, of course, because Huddersfield lost last night. That means Cass now might even finish in the top four. Plenty to talk about there. And then, of course, like you said, there's the cricket and there's the tennis. We've had the Women's World Cup as well. We've been spoilt. But I think we all need a dose of Leeds United again, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We can't beat it, obviously. It goes through your veins, doesn't it? Once it's in there, it's in.
Nothing
can beat it.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's start at the beginning, Dom, because we've not had a chat for a while. Uwe Rosler is the man steering the great white ship that is Leeds United. What did you make of the appointment, and what have you made of Mr. Rosler so far?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with the appointment when it first came out. I thought, good, young manager. Did well at Brentford, did well in the early part of when he was at Wigan. And I'm happy with his appointment and the signings that he's made as well. Obviously, I'm sure we'll come up to that enough shortly, but I'm really enthusiastic about the season, and Leeds fans would say that pretty much every year, but I'm encouraged by it so far. And I was there on Thursday for the kit launch.
Right.
And listening to Uwe Rosler speak as well, he seems very knowledgeable, almost diplomatic in a way, how he speaks, and he seems very, he's got a goal, he knows what he wants to achieve, and it sounds like he's really going to work hard to get there.
Absolutely. I was just speaking to our very own Leeds United commentator, Mark Wilson. We were having a chat and we were talking about the season ahead and talking about Uwe Rosler. And we just hope that that he's the man, he's given time at Leeds United, because he does seem genuinely to have a plan. And he is getting reaction from the players around him. Like you say, when you hear him speak, he sounds passionate, he sounds knowledgeable, he knows what he wants to achieve, and he's got a model going forward. Although Mr. Chiellino, not a man who's renowned for having faith and patience with managerial staff.
Well, that's it. You can say, I mean, you did say time. That's a key thing. He needs to be given time. But then if you look at it and think, okay, fine, time at most clubs means a couple of seasons. Would Massimo Chiellino think, time, I'll give him till Christmas, that's enough time?
Yeah.
You've got to, obviously, it's all, you've got to put all into perspective with that. But I think Uwe Rosler, I think he's looking to develop what we've already got, which I really liked. Obviously, when Neil Redfern left, there was a little worry that maybe the next manager would do what Milinic did, Darko Milinic, and in some aspects Hockaday, where you sort of go to a bit more of the older generation of player. But those young lads, certainly the four that we all talk about, Cook, Mowat, Byram and Taylor, they're the future of Leeds United, and we need to just keep, developing those guys and building the team around them. And it seems like Rosler looks to do that. He's not gone out to the transfer market and bought a load of ageing players. Yeah, we all know Saul Bamba, what, 30, 31 years of age. And for a footballer, that's getting towards the twilight of your career. But that was a sensible signing, a very good signing. He will be there. Under no illusions that he's going to be the captain when the season starts. So it's multiple languages, as Rosler said, and I really think he can help bring the younger lads on. But outside that, is it Charlie Horton?
Charlie Horton,
the young keeper. They've got Chris Wood, who's still only 23 years of age, despite being around what seems forever. So it's looking good. And there's the Lee Irwin as well, the lad from Scotland. So it's looking good, and if a few more astute signings, and I think we could have a really good, promising squad. I think we still need a bit of width, a bit of pace down the flanks, which we've not really had since the days of Gradle, those guys. But yeah, I'm happy so far.
Yeah, some. Let's talk a little bit more about those signings that you said. Charlie Horton, the young goalkeeper that's come in. I've got a feeling that he'll probably be farmed out on loan, get a bit of experience under his belt. But the likes of Lee Irwin, of Chris Wood, certainly, obviously, you know, the permanent signing of Saul Bamba. It gives you an idea of what he's trying to achieve. You know, in bringing youth and bringing that direct attacking kind of style, high tempo football. That's what Uwe Rosler said he wants. Now, of course, we've got the extra problem. Luke Murphy, he's going to be out for about 7 weeks with this knee injury. So, you know, the centre of midfield also a key area where you'd feel that the Whites need to firm things up a bit.
Yeah, I think we do need to do that. We do need an experienced head in there. And I thought maybe Rudy Austin would have been given another year to see if he could do that role. But obviously, the management, the powers that be, thought otherwise. So that's their prerogative. They, you know, they're in charge. So I do think we need to fill that void that has been left by... I mean, yeah, Michael Tongley wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but he was an experienced head in the centre of the park. Michael Brown, a couple of seasons ago, he was similar, and I think we just signed him a couple of years too late, to be honest.
Is that where you'd kind of lean more towards an older head, a holding midfielder?
Yeah, and I mean, the players that have been linked, I mean, there's been Steve Sidwell and Joey Barton.
Now, I'd be pleased with either of them, I will be honest.
I would be honest as well, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, Joey Barton, he's a Leeds United player, I mean, in a lot of sense, and by that I mean not a lot of people like Leeds United who aren't Leeds United fans.
Yeah, I know exactly.
And Joey Barton, not a lot of people like Joey Barton unless you're playing for, he's playing for your club. We've had a few like that. I mean, I mentioned I was speaking to one of your colleagues a few days ago. I mentioned it, Lee Bowyer, prime example. Yeah. Everyone hated him. Leeds fans loved him.
Yeah, no, I can completely understand that, completely. It'll be interesting to see where they go and, you know, if they do go down the age and experience route and, you know, a Premier League player who's coming towards the twilight of his career, that can actually look at an approach from a club with an open mind, do you know what I mean? And actually look at it and say, do you know what? There could be the start of something there. Maybe it's certainly worth looking at. Maybe surprise a few of us Leeds fans.
Yeah, and I think Chris Wood signing, I mean, there's a lot of money, not just about the money, though, but I think a player of his stature, I think that's a real signing of intent. And like you say, someone like Steve Sidwell may look at that and think, you know what, there's a real project starting there, and I can be in that. Mm. And the thing is, any player who's playing in the Leeds team that gets promoted, whenever that happens, next season, season after, whenever it happens, they're going to be gods. You know, the Leeds United supporters... if you do well for the club and you work hard and you're willing to put in a graft, they will absolutely bow down to you. And it's been proven over the years that that's happened. Those Leeds fans still love and adore the Strachan, McAllister, Batty, Speed, you know, Fairclough, White, all those guys from the early 90s who got us promoted and won the championship. It's just proven. And I think someone like Steve Sidwell, maybe even Joey Barton or whoever else might be out there looking to come in and looking for one final... not a final payday, but a final project, something that they can really, you know, be proud of at the end of the career.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to last night. I mean, we can't really go into a great amount of detail regarding the game at Wetherby Road against Harrogate Town. 1-1 it finished. Leeds behind for the majority of that particular game. But, you know, Uwe Rosler said at the start, this is not about the result. It's not about scoring goals. This is about fitness. This is a real workout. You know, we're changing the team. It was, a different 11 in the second half. Do you kind of buy into this strategy at the start of the season that you just play, you know, as many options as you can and just go for absolute fitness?
Yeah, I think it was. It was a glorified training match, wasn't it, really? That's all it was. That's all them games ever are. I mean, we've got the next one Wednesday against York. That'll be much of the same. It'll be a little bit of a step up. But we've obviously got that training camp in Austria and Norway, I think it is. We'll go next week. So that's when the real work starts. That's when we're playing against two Bundesliga teams before coming back and facing Everton. Those are the real games. That'll be where you're looking for a little bit of class and refining your tactics and your skills. But, I mean, last night, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, aren't you? Leeds United expected to go out there and win 10-0. They didn't. Mm. So you can't really win being the bigger team there. But Harrogate, I mean, it's a massive game for them, guys. You know, the odds are playing for Harrogate. Leeds United in town, they want to go out and make an impression. Something for the scrapbooks to tell the grandkids, etc. And they've done that, to be fair, to them. 1-1, great result for them. Leeds, I don't think anyone's going to be too downhearted about it. It's just about stretching your legs and dusting off the cobwebs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the whole idea, isn't it, really, for pre-season. And Steve Morrison getting on the score sheet nice and early. Well, if he...
Never doubted him.
Yeah, all right then, Yeah, I'll believe you, mate. But no, if he... if he continues that form right the way throughout next season, I'll be a happy bunny.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Morrison got a lot of stick last season, but to be fair, the graft that he put in and the actual hard yards he did for the rest of the team, it can't be underestimated. He's a good player. He's played in the Premiership, he's scored goals in the Premiership, scored goals for his country.
Yeah.
I think he would work really well alongside an actual finisher. So, looking at Beckford of 6-7 years ago, put Morrison alongside him, you've got a workhorse, you know, like much like Luciano Becchio was. He was the workhorse. He'd be put the graft in.
Yeah.
Steve Morrison does some similar role. He might not get as many goals, might not get as many headlines, but I'd keep him. I'd be happy to keep Morrison. We've got a good front line now, I think.
Do you think Billy Sharp's going to be part of that front line?
Well, I don't know.
would you want him as to stay at Leeds United?
Yes, because he's a poacher. However, and there's only one circumstance I can really think that I would agree to sell him, is if it was in a transfer or trade with, is it Jamie Murphy, I think?
Winger.
The winger from Sheffield United, obviously, there's some sort of a swap deal that could be negotiated there, I'd take that because we do, as I said earlier, we need the pace and we need that width. You know, somebody who will get to the byline and whip it, much in the Jason Wilcox type of player.
Jason Wilcox, there's a blast from the past.
Absolutely. But, hey, what a player he was, and he was he just hooked that touchline, didn't he? Didn't come off of it. Knew what his job was, get the ball, beat a man, whip a good cross in.
He was a master of his art, wasn't he? He certainly was. Now, before I let you go, Dom, we saw the new kit unveiled on Thursday night. You were there, you saw it. What are your thoughts on the strip for next season?
Love it. I hope, I absolutely love it. I think it's retro. I know everyone's said this, retro, classic, plain, all those words have been used, but you can't disagree. I mean, I think it's a great kit. Pure white, obviously a little bit of a blue trim with the Kappa logo on the shoulder and the Leeds badge on the front. I mean, I don't see what Leeds fans couldn't like about it.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. I mean, there were a few pictures that were leaked online sort of prior to it going out, and a couple of them, and you thought, oh, really? And then some of them just ended up being dodgy fakes that somebody spotted on a market in Turkey or something like that.
The actual kit that you saw, I was thinking, I hope so, but I can't see it, because usually the little leaks and the fakes are usually better than what actually gets leaked.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when it was officially announced that was the kit, I'm very much in the same camp as you. I like the fact that it's clean, that it's not cluttered, that it's very retro. And, I'm just hoping that they're not all in slim fit, because there's a few of us fat lads that might have a bit of a problem getting into one of them. But
I bought myself a shirt at the launch on Thursday, and I must admit, it's a shirt with motivation in mind. I think the 8th of August, that's when I'll be first wearing it. Hit the gym, Dom.
Is it a bit on the snug side, Dom?
Well, if you remember that Roma kit from a few years ago that was also made by Kappa, Francesco Totti modelled it well, and I've not got the physique of Francesco Totti.
Listen, Dom, thanks very much for taking a little bit of time out of your weekend to have a chat. We remain eternally optimistic when it comes to Leeds United, and I'm sure we'll be chatting much, much more over the course of the season here on Radio Yorkshire. But for now, thank you very much indeed.
A pleasure as always, Lee. Cheers, mate.
Sport, music and putting the world to rights. Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
It's that time where we welcome our guest presenters, my co-hosts, into the studio this afternoon. Both of them looking absolutely terrified over the other side of the desk there, boys. You don't need to be nervous. I'd like to welcome officially from Castleford Tigers, Tom Holmes. Good afternoon, Tom. And Will Mayer. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Thank you very much for taking a bit of time out and joining us today, boys. On the way, it's nothing too taxing. Don't worry. We'll be taking it easy on you. We're going to be finding out what life's like in the Castleford Tigers camp for you lads at the moment. We'll find out a little bit about your rugby league backgrounds, where you came from, where you aspire to be. A couple of the big stories that are doing the rounds in the world of rugby league at the minute as well. We're also going to be having you boys choosing a few songs for us this afternoon, choosing the playlist. Now, you're not the first to appear on the show. A couple of guys that you might be familiar with, Jordan Baldwinson from Featherstone Rovers, you know them, and Alex Foster as well. They've been in, they chose their music. What we'll have to do is find out who's got the best musical taste in rugby league. And judging on the first few songs that you've chosen, you're way out in front. Way out in front. So let's get things started this afternoon. If any Castleford Tigers fans that are tuned in right now would like to ask the lads any particular questions, then why don't you tweet them into us at Radio _ Yorkshire with either Ask Will or Ask Tom. We'll see if we can get to the bottom of your burning questions on this Saturday afternoon. First and foremost, let's get started. Let's find out a little bit of background about you two boys. We'll start with you, Tom, because I know that you're just dying to get stuck straight into it.
I don't know.
Tell us a little bit about your where your love for rugby league began. Where did you start playing?
Play football when I were about 7 years old, and then my brother, who was a couple of years older than me, playing rugby, so just thought I'd try out, really. Went down to Loch Lane amateur team, and straight from there, really. Just love the game.
There's been a lot of players that have come through Loch Lane, haven't there?
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of players. It's a good club, amateur club. There's some good young players there now that I think will come through as well after in a couple of years.
And did they kind of see the kind of, you know, that you were a real prospect, kind of put an arm around your shoulder and guide you through? Were they kind of largely responsible for you kind of getting to where you've got to so far, do you think?
Yeah, I had good coaches while I were there, and they've always supported me and stuff like that, so I think it helped me being at that club. I enjoyed it.
And did you go straight from Loch Lane then to Cass?
I went to Wakefield.
Right, for, okay.
For 2 years on scholarship before moving to Cassford Scholarship in about 2014, and then signed under-19s then, and it's come from there, really.
Right, and I understand that you've just signed a new deal as well that's going to keep you at Cass for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and a year extension, so really happy with that. It's a weight off my shoulders now, knowing that I'll be at club next year. So
absolutely. And have you're sort of nipping your way around the edge of that first team at the moment? How's that going?
I'm enjoying it. I'm just loving being around everyone, really, getting that full-time experience, and yeah, it's good. You learn a lot off all the players, and yeah, it's a good thing to do every day.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine it's a good time to be involved with Castleford Tigers at the minute, riding at the crest of a wave a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great club, great fans, great players and coach and staff, and you know, I won't want to be anywhere else at the minute. I love that club, and yeah, they're going places out there. There's a new stadium coming and stuff like that, so
absolutely,
it's looking good for town, really.
Most definitely. Well, we'll talk about the stadium a little bit later on, as well as Tom in the studio this afternoon. Will Mayer, thank you very much, Will. Give us a little bit of background on yourself. Where did your rugby league life start out then?
Mine was a little bit different to Tom's, in all honesty. I started off actually as a swimmer. I was never really destined to be a rugby league player, if I'm being honest. I didn't even start rugby till I was about 12, 13 years old. And I was a county level swimmer up until then. I don't really have a rugby league background with my family or anything. And then one of my friends just at school suggested coming down and just try it out. And then from then on, I just loved it.
Bitten by the bug.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Like, I think it's just really infectious game, and it's just such a great way to like make friends, and that's what hooked me to it, really.
So you said you were a county level swimmer in what particular discipline?
I used to be able to do freestyle and backstroke as well. They were me too. 50 metres, that was what I specialised in.
Right, well, you've certainly got that kind of Phelps build. You're not the smallest rugby league player I've seen. Just go on, just how tall are you?
I'm about 6'5". There's quite a lot of speculation that I'm about 7 foot or 6'10", but no, I'm about 6'5".
6'5". And so tell us about your transition from amateur rugby to where you find yourself now then.
Yeah, it was quite a long story, really, but it was sort of, I never got onto a scholarship, I was a bit of a late developer. Everyone went onto scholarships, and it didn't really bother me, because I didn't think I wasn't good enough at the time to get on it, and I sort of just developed at about 16, where it just started to happen for me, just kicked on. And then Cumbria just started a scholarship, and I didn't originally get picked for that, but then after a few good games, they brought me onto the side, and then I got into the Cumbria's Academy. And then Casford's old academy coach, Richard Tunnelly, just came to watch one of our games and said, how about coming down to Cass for a week? And then I came down, really enjoyed it, and then that was that.
Again, Cumbria, another one of those areas that's a real kind of hotbed for rugby league talent, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. It's it's produced some really good players, and some players at the moment in Super League that are playing really well. You look at sort of the likes of Brad Singleton and sort of Greg Richards from St Helens, they're playing really well. So it's just that transition for them, where if you can leave Cumbria, because there's a lot of talent there, but a lot of them prefer to just a home bird and just stay where they are.
Yeah, and how long have you been with Cass Tigers now then?
I came on trial, was that in 2013, in about August, so yeah, 2013 till present time now.
And you've just signed quite a long-term deal, haven't you?
Yeah, I've just signed 4 years, which I'm really happy about. It was something, like Tom said, it's a weight off my shoulders. I'd already actually had next year, but he offered me the extension, and I just jumped at the chance. You know, it's a great club to be at, and I couldn't wait to get another few years under my belt.
Post-match chatter with Lee Nicholson. It's Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
For now, let's carry on with the Cass Tigers chat, because obviously some brilliant news, not only for Castleford but for the surrounding areas as well, was that that Wakefield Council have given their planning permission for this Five Towns Park, with this development that would include, is it a 10,000 capacity community stadium? I think it is. That's got to be exciting for everybody involved with the club.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, it's been coming for a long time, really. For years I've been on about a new stadium, and it's been on off, and just good to get that news that it's going to actually be happening. And I think it's just great for town, really. It's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely. It is great news for everybody involved in it, and obviously for players like yourselves, that, you know, young players that are working your way into first team contention. You know, presumably when you guys sort of break through, you know, you could potentially be playing in this brand spanking new stadium, you know, which obviously that's got to be something to look forward to, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that the club really needs as well. They're starting to become sort of like regular in that top of the table, and if you see other top of the table sides, they've all got world-class facilities. So I think having that up there, that'll appeal to like other younger players that are coming through. That'll be something they really want to do, and play in this new stadium that's going to be built. Yeah, and I think it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good bit of regeneration for the entire region as well, isn't it? So not only for Castleford, but for the sort of five towns in general, really.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be sad for the club to let that ground go. I mean, it's got a lot of history there, and you know, it's great that it's a tight stadium, because fans really, really love that. I think. I think a new stadium will be great for the club. And
I was going to ask you both. Obviously, you know, you've played out on the pitch there at the Jungle, and as a player stepping out for the first time into that kind of environment, what can you remember the first game that you played there?
Yeah, well, with the first team, I made my home debut this year, so that was at Catalan at home. So obviously, one side was a bit quiet. We know Catalan fans, but our side of the stand was absolutely outstanding. Like you can really hear them when you're playing, and when you're a bit down, and when you're getting yourself in a bit of a hole and you're a bit tired, they really do pick you up and they keep you going.
Yeah, they're known for the kind of vociferous support the Cass fans are. It's got to be something that you appreciate as a player.
Oh yeah, I think the great are that fans are home and away. They take, you know, a lot of numbers, and just how loud they are. Players love it.
Yeah,
and they always talk about how good they are, and I think it just gets them through games. And you know, it makes it that extra bit special, especially at end of games when, you know, crowds singing at end. It's something special, really.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it? Sweet Caroline, isn't it, that everybody's singing? I presume you two know all the words to that already.
Yeah, we should have put that on the list for you.
How do you know this?
Sport, music and putting the world to rights. Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
And it's a Studs Up special with my co-hosts this afternoon from Castleford Tigers, Tom Holmes and Will Mayer. Thank you for joining us, gents. We're actually going against my better judgment here, because I know what the rivalry is like between Castleford Tigers and Featherstone Rovers. But I'm going to throw you all into the mix a little bit as we welcome to the phone one of our first co-presenters on the show, Jordan Baldwinson from Featherstone Rovers. Afternoon, Jordan.
Mate, how you doing, Big Lee? All right.
I'm not doing bad, mate. I'm not doing too bad at all. Cheers for having a bit of a chat with us. Let's keep it polite and let's keep it sensible. I know that you're all absolute gentlemen. Firstly, I understand that you've played against each other, I think, probably in the youth setup games.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we played against each other in a friendly as well, when we played Fev in a friendly.
All right. And how did you get on there then?
I think we won. 18-0, something like that.
All right. Jordan, can you move out of the wind, mate?
Yeah, I'm just moving into that.
Good man. Now then, Jordan, since you joined us here on Studs Up a couple of weeks ago, your side's been in action a few times. Some pretty good results. Unfortunately, a couple that have not gone the way that you would have hoped. But we look towards tomorrow and this push to try and finish up in that top four. And it's a big game against a team that we spoke about while you were here. And there's certainly a lot of controversy surrounding them at the moment. That's Leigh Centurions.
Yeah, we have had a few good results, mate. It'll be Bradford at their place, which were a tough one. I think it was a good score as well. We put a few points on board there. And obviously Hunslet, but we were speaking about Hunslet the day after. We're playing the day after we were on your show, and that was a good result as well. But a big defeat against Dewsbury last week. So we need to have a good week this week. Obviously the new coach has stepped in, so we've got fresh things, and we're all going to pull together as a team, and hopefully we can put a performance in tomorrow, mate, against Leigh. But obviously, as we all know, Leigh are a good team, and they're no mug, so it's going to be a tough game, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. You just mentioned there you've got a new coach that's come in, John Sharp, who's yep. arrived, a man that's got a wealth of experience, of course, Huddersfield and Crusaders, and yeah. obviously player at Hull FC, and then the time as a coach with Great Britain as well. So he brings a lot of experience to him. Has he been making his presence felt already?
Yeah, I mean, he was in training Thursday night, mate, and he was teaching us a few new stuff, and he was teaching us a few game plans on how he thinks we can beat Leigh, and moving forward as a team, what he thinks is going to be best for the team, and individually for me, he was tipping me up on a few things that he thinks that I could develop in my game stuff. So first impressions, mate, so far so good. I just think the Hawk boys need to really dig in for him. We've only got 3 weeks left to end at regular season. And then we'll see whether we're in top four or, in middle eights or whatever it is. And we just need to dig deep, mate. I think he's going to bring a lot of experience to our team. So I'm looking forward to playing underneath him. So it should be a good test.
Now, you just you mentioned there that he's that kind of manager that takes a player to one side, an arm around the shoulder. Do you lads find that is Daryl Powell the same with you at Castleford? Is he a kind of man manager?
Yeah, he's awesome with everyone. He'll get you in his office, have a chat. Tell you what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right, and his other coaching staff as well, Ryan Sheridan and Danny Orr, they're same as well. They like to spend time with you on your own as well as a team. So
they seem to have a real good kind of managerial ethos, not only obviously at Fev but over in Cast too, of really nurturing the young talent that comes through. That's got to make you feel pretty positive and make you feel good as a young player.
Yeah, definitely. They're just such approachable guys. Like you don't have to feel really nervous about them. You can go and ask them without anything. If you've got problems off or on the field, they'll talk to you about it, and they'll be really give you genuine answers. So it's I can see why young talent's coming through just by the way they're acting around us.
And of course this stadium news for Cast Tigers, it has a knock on effect right the way throughout the region, and indeed that's probably going to be felt over in Fev as well. Jordie, what's the situation there regarding? Is there any kind of work that's due on your particular stadium? Any work that's going to be done there? Any potential upgrades that you know of anyway?
I'm not sure about our stadium, to be honest with you. I know that, I think Wakefield are joining our stadium. I know that we'll be using the same stadium and same pitch starting from next season, I think, mate. But, no, I'm not sure on any, I know we just had a new stand-up, but I'm not sure if they're upgrading it or not, but I couldn't really say at this moment in time, mate.
And, obviously, you'll be looking forward to lining up against the Cast boys, hopefully, next year.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, mate. Hopefully, return back to Leeds, and all being well and all being good, and get a few games next season, mate. But I just need to rip in at Fev, finish off this season, and see where that takes me, mate.
Great stuff. Listen, Jordie, thanks very much for your time. Always a pleasure. We're going to be putting your score to the test a little bit later on our Rugby League Six Star Challenge as well.
What's that, mate? Jesus.
Have we got any advice for the lads before they step up to our massively expensive magnetic dartboard?
You've got to throw it as hard as you can, because if you throw a bit of a limp, it'll just fall straight down, boys. So give it a good welly.
there we go, lads. Jordie, all the best tomorrow against Leigh Centurions. Hoping you come up with a positive result, pal.
Billy, mate, thanks for the call.
No worries, thanks for your time. Have a good one.
Take care.
Cheers, bye-bye. So there we go. Featherstone Rovers and Castleford Tigers. It's one of those rivalries that it'll go on for time immortal, won't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially with fans, they love it when if they draw a Mink Cup or anything like that. It's a good atmosphere.
Have you had the opportunity to play against Fev in a competitive game? So you really get to sort of go at it, hammer and tongs with them yet?
Only in a friendly, really. Played it friendly. That's about it. Not really.
I don't suppose there's much of a friendly though, is there, when Cass play Fev? Really.
No, it was still quite a high intensity game. To be fair, for a friendly, it was the first friendly of the year as well. But no, it was a good experience, and I can imagine it would only double if you played in a competitive game.
Right, we are going to look for one of your tracks now. We're going to move on. We're going to play some music, and it's an old school track that you've chosen, and I just need to find it, and there it is. It's right, okay then. Now, this is quite interesting because when the guys were on before, they chose a track by the same artist, just a different song. I must admit, you've got some style when it comes to choosing your music.
I've got good taste.
You have. I'm impressed with this one. Stevie Wonder is the artist that we're going to play. Can you remember the name of the track that you were after, Tom?
Is it Part-Time Lover?
It certainly was.
Post-match chatter with Lee Nicholson. It's Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire. Yeah,
we've now got a full complement in the studio on this Saturday afternoon, 11 minutes past five. Castleford Tigers, Tom Holmes, Will Maher. You see what I've done there. And Danny Parkinson's made a surprise appearance as well.
Yeah, you're right, mate.
I'm all right.
I'll pop along.
Do you know, it's just not the same without you, Danny.
No, you're too kind.
No, it's just not as much fun making my own coffee. I'll be very honest with you. We've had a fantastic show thus far. There's been plenty going on, of course. Wimbledon this afternoon, Serena Williams. She's just a machine.
She is, isn't she?
Absolutely
unbelievable.
A sixth Wimbledon title, and then of course the news that we've all been waiting for: England have won the first test against Australia.
I can't believe that.
So good. All those naysayers that were going like, oh no, England are going to get absolutely spanked, but it looks like we might have just caught the Aussies on the hop.
Oh mate, this is great news. I'm absolutely over the moon with this. I have to admit, before this, I could have seen it's a 5-0 whitewash, but now just seeing that, it's giving me so much hope. That 2005 spirit's back again now.
Do you know, it's just making me want to go around to the closest walkabout and just look smug for at night, you know what I mean? Just have a general wander around and just rub it in a little bit. The pulled Australia out for 242. That is a victory of 169 runs. Stuart Broad, Moeen Ali took 3 wickets each today. Good going, Stuart Broad. I thought he were a bit of a kind of how's he going to perform leading into the Ashes? And
well, I thought he was going to be a bit patchy, but it seems like they've all really come together now.
I mean,
especially after that first batting performance by England. You know, when we're it just looked absolutely dismal. That back order just really started to come together, and since then it just seems to, you know, inspired a movement, and they've really gone from there. So it's going to be impressive to see how they do for the rest of the test. I don't know if Australia underestimated us or what.
They always do that. They always do that. And quite apt as well that it was Joe Root that caught the last ball as well. Yorkshire's very own Joe Root, who of course had a fantastic stand in on day one or day two of 130-odd. Fantastic for the young man.
Yeah, we're always going to be a Yorkshireman that saved the Ashes when he left.
Of course it was. Right, on the way soon we will be talking to Luke Gale. We spoke about him briefly earlier on, and it's all been very nice and very good. I'll just point that out just in case is listening now, before we actually get there and chatting about obviously this Super League Player of the Month nomination that he's recently got. We've been talking all things Castleford Tigers, and we've been asking a few people to drop us along any sort of tweets, questions, that kind of thing. There were some that I just can't read out, I'll be very honest with you, but there is one in particular that's caught my interest, and this one's come from somebody called Jane Hart.
Who's I know Jane. I used to live with Jane when I first moved down from Cumbria. She looked after me very well. She was like a second mum for a week.
All right, okay. Well, that actually makes sense because she's put hashtag Ask Will. Do you still eat lots of malt loaf?
Do I still eat? Yes, I certainly do. Yeah.
Is that the staple diet of a rugby league player in West Yorkshire nowadays?
I'm not sure about. I sort of started a bit of a trend for us, but no, it's easy to eat, and I just get it. I just like it.
What's malt loaf?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you now. Oh, yeah, I like that stuff.
Yeah.
That's nice. You've got no idea?
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of Sorry.
You'll have to go to the shops tonight. It's, yeah. It's worth a buy.
Yeah, it's like a really kind of sort of sticky, squishy kind of bread with raisins and all that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Good with a little bit of butter and a cup of tea, old boy.
Ah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's very nice. We spoke a little bit earlier on about the stadium. We spoke about, you know, potentially leaving the jungle as well, and we were talking about the kind of atmosphere that generates. Do you think that maybe moving to a new stadium, Danny, do you think they might lose any of that, or do you think that'll be incorporated into a new build, as it were?
Well, I think Cast fans are Cast fans, aren't they? You know, they'll take it anywhere they go, but you know, I think you know, I really enjoy visiting the jungle when I go there. It's a great place, but he's a bit too old now. I think that, you know, they're looking for that. He's falling apart a bit. You lads will know it from the changing rooms and all the rest of it, but look, I think it's a great place because it's a great atmosphere. But you know, looking at the new developments, you know, Yvette Cooper, who was actually the MP for that area, I was talking to her not so long ago, and you know, we had a chat about that, and they were saying, you know, it's great for the area to have that and the entire development that goes around it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we said that you know, it's good for the entire area, very very good, and of course we wish Castleford Tigers all the best and continued success. Obviously not too much. We don't want you dominating for too long. I'm kidding. Let's move things on. Let's look ahead to tomorrow's game. Now, as I understand it, Hull FC, they handed out a bit of a kicking last time around, didn't it? They had a bit of a heavy defeat at the hands of Hull last time around. So we're looking to put that right tomorrow. What does what does game day incorporate? How does it start?
It just sort of starts from team run through, really. So obviously you'll have a short practice just the day before a game, make sure everyone knows what's going on, make sure all the players are right, and then sort of game day, it's just pretty individual sort of thing for a player. So you'll, whatever breakfast is suits you, and then you'll get on the coach. Everyone, it's still quite a relaxed environment, and then sort of you go to a hotel just before, and that's when it's sort of just to freshen up a little bit, maybe get a rub, go through the final team preps, and that's when you sort of start switching on. Then the last little journey to the ground, and then once you get to the ground, it's, you know, sort of that game face sort of mentality, and you know you're ready to go.
Right, so malt loaf for breakfast then?
Maybe not for me. I'm more a scrambled egg and toast guy, but I always bring a bit with me.
Good man. You're going to be your 18th man tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, I certainly am. Yeah.
Okay. So, and you're travelling with a team as well tomorrow. Yeah. Apparently, you're going to be getting a bit of a flogging tomorrow morning.
Nice flogging before I go, and then travel and support boys. Probably do stats as well. So, yeah, it should be a good game and get them 2 points.
Absolutely, yeah. It's is this right, Danny, with the result for Huddersfield yesterday? Well, yesterday, Huddersfield losing. That means that Cass can now finish in the top four.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, and what a game that was. You know, it was an absolutely superb game. Huddersfield looked on form. One thing I'd like to ask you, lads, is, you know, your next three games, you've got Hull, Wakefield and Warrington. Is that a kind of preparation that you need going into the Super 8s?
All three of them are going to be really tough games. Like, I suppose with this new system, you can't take any game lightly. And Warrington have, you know, starting to pick up some good form now. And Wakefield, obviously under their new coach, they're going to be another tough side. So I don't think we've got an easy run in whatsoever. But I think they're crucial for us to gain a bit of momentum. They're a crucial three games for us to, you know, get the job done.
When you're looking at this, what have you made of the new format so far? Obviously, it's very new, but this kind of format really does mean every minute matters, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, every game's crucial. I think it's a good new system. I think it makes it more interesting, but I think it's especially good for them teams in league below, you know, having a chance to play against Super League sides in this when it splits off. I think that's great for not just clubs, but individual players who maybe have got talent to play in Super League. They'll be able to show that against Super League clubs. I think it's a really good thing to do this year.
And obviously, you guys have really hit some form, especially at this part of the season. Last season, it was a bit different. It seemed like the cast got a little bit tired, but it really seems like the sky's the limit now on this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've gone sort of the opposite way from last year. We sort of started off on fire and then sort of fizzled out a little bit, but it's still a fantastic season. And this year, it's the opposite way. We didn't start off quite the way. They didn't gel straight away, but now they're really starting to come together. Well, fantastically, as they've been showing. So, yeah, can't wait.
I think one of those players who has been instrumental, hopefully, should be on the line now. Are you there, Luke Gale?
I'm here.
Yes! Hey. So there you go, the wonder of modern technology. Thank you very much for taking a little bit of time out to have a chat with us this afternoon, Luke. We've got a couple of your teammates in here. We will get to them in just a second. Named Super League Player of the Month for June. Well, considering the form that you've been in over the season, it must be nice to get a bit of recognition for that.
Yeah, obviously, good to get that award, and I think it's just reward for the team. You know, how good his team's been doing, like you say. I just hearing your conversation there, we seem to be in a bit of form, and we're five on the bounce now. So no, it's come at the right time, and like you say, it's the three games left, and then we're in the Super 8. So it's come at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Just reading earlier on, Daryl Powell has had a bit of a chat with Mark Wilson from Radio Yorkshire, and he said people are always asking how can Cass Tigers perform like they do. He said it's because simply we have belief in each other. Is that something that's really running through your team at the moment, Luke?
Yeah, massively. I think as performances show that, and the last 10 minutes of the St Helens game, we got back in front in the Leeds game too, so it just shows the belief we have in one another, and we work hard every day at training, and no, it's coming off for us.
Now, it's five games on the spin now. You're a side that people are not relishing playing, I think that's safe to say. Earlier on in the year, well beaten at Hull in the Cup. Has that been mentioned in the build-up to this particular game tomorrow?
Yeah, to be honest, Powley and the boys spoke about that today. We kind of got embarrassed in the Challenge Cup, and we'll be looking to right the wrongs tomorrow. But we understand it's a tough game. Hull are wanting to get that in that Super 8, and we know they've got a real big pack, and they'll come out firing tomorrow.
Yeah, and you could go into the top four, as we said, with a win. How important is it for you collectively and you know, individually that you make that top four after 23 rounds? And, of course, it means that extra home game in the Super 8, doesn't it?
Yeah, funnily enough, we spoke about that again today. Have you been listening to Paul's conversation? Yeah, we spoke about the extra game at home, possibly being the Leeds game at home. So no, it's a massive thing, and it's something that we want to do. We're looking up rather than down.
Now, obviously, Daryl Powell, Danny Orr, both there, both playing halfback. How do you feel that your game's progressed sort of under their tutelage, as it were?
Yeah, massively. I think they've got Powell, Danny Orr and Shez, and that were a massive, massive part of me coming to Castleford. Obviously, Powell doing what he did last year, the boys, and yeah, the halfbacks, there were three great halfbacks there. To be honest, at the start of the season, I was struggling to find out the system they wanted me to play. It's a bit different to how I've been playing in my old clubs, but that took a bit of time. And to be honest, the team took a bit of time too. We had 9 or 10 new faces in, and it took a bit longer than we expected. But it's here now, and hopefully it'll stay.
Now, we've already spoken to Tom and to Will here in the studio this afternoon about the plans for the new stadium. What's it like for you playing at the Jungle? It's certainly an intimidating atmosphere for travelling teams and supporters. What do you make of it?
Yeah, to be honest, I love it. I loved it even when I was at other clubs, and it's like you say, it's an intimidating atmosphere, but I think that brings the best out in you. And the fans this year, everyone, when I signed for Castleford, everyone told me about the fans, and to be honest, the best I've seen in Super League. They're unbelievable, and they get behind you, and it is like an extra man. But no, I love playing at the Jungle, and like you say, his own form's been outstanding.
Now, these two young gentlemen that are sat opposite the desk this afternoon, Will Maher and Tom Holmes, the mic is open, Luke. It is entirely over to you. What do you make of these two young players?
No, they're the future of the club, basically. I mean, you look at Will, he's the biggest human you've ever seen. He's unbelievable. And then Holmes is an halfback who's been killing it in the under-19. So, well, they're the future of the club. Hopefully, future halfback with me, Holmesy, will hopefully many years to come. And Big Will will be a starting front rower. No, they've been outstanding, and
Will stepped in. I think Holmes, I don't know if Holmes has played, but yeah, he played one game, didn't he, Holmes?
Yeah, 75 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. But no, Parley puts him in. He's not afraid to. He knows the talent they've got, and when Big Will steps in, especially for a front rower, it's hard when you're that age. But he stepped in and don't look out of place. In fact, he's been outstanding for us. So, no, massive part of the club, and Shed has been going really well with the under-19s. It just shows you the form and the people at the club. And no, it's the future's very bright.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real area where, you know, that Cass, well, particularly the kind of West Yorkshire region, there's real emphasis on grassroots rugby league and bringing through this young talent. It's got to be quite satisfying when you see these young stars of the future coming through, you know, playing for your side.
Yeah, massively. And like you say, we've got a great under-19 side. And some of our first team players get overlooked. I mean, people like Oliver Holmes, he might look more 30, but he's I don't know if he's 23 or something like that. He steps in week out, and he's been one of his most consistent performers this year. But I think because it's Castleford, people like that get overlooked, and like you say, people like him, they just step in and they do a job week out, and that's probably why you don't notice him. But I certainly notice him when you're playing beside him. No, we've got some great kids, and we've got a good mix in the squad.
Well, five games on the spin now. You've won. I would certainly say that people are sitting up and taking notice of Castleford Tigers, and more fool them if they don't, really, because you know, certainly not a side that people are looking forward to playing these days.
Yeah, well, that's what we hope, and at the start of the season we lacked consistency, and we've spoke about getting that consistency, and I think we have now, and yeah, that's. Hopefully towards these last eight games, these Super Eights, people will not want to come to the jungle, and that starts on Sunday. Hopefully we can knock OSE off at the KC Stadium, and two games left then, and yeah, we're building for the Super Eights.
Now, finally, before I let you go, there's an England Test series coming up in autumn with New Zealand. Any plans on trying to force your way into Steve McNamara's plans there?
Yeah, definitely. I think just trying to get the consistency week in, week out, and hopefully, come the end of the season, I'm in Steve McNamara's plans. I mean, there's some good halfbacks, I'm sure, whether it's Bruthy or Matty Smith or people like that. But Gareth Widdop, obviously, playing Australia. Mm. But no, just trying to get that consistency week in, week out, and hopefully you do enough to get the international recognition.
Great stuff, and the very last word you're going to give the younger players here words of wisdom. You're going to give individual words of wisdom, Luke. I'm putting you on the spot now.
You put me on the spot there.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. What is your bit of advice for Tom Holmes?
Well, I think he's a great professional as it is. Just keep working hard and keep working on them little extras that he does week in, week out, and. I'm sure, like I say, I'm sure he'll be by my side, 6 and 7 partnership in the coming years.
And what about the man mountain that is Will Maher?
Stop eating, Will.
Can't promise that.
No, like you say, they've got many big raps on him. I think people have. It's a big. What's the word I'm looking for? People have compared him to Burgess twins, and to be honest, I can see it. I can see. The size of him and the way he plays, he's a man mountain, and no, it takes a bit of time for a front rower to come to age, and it's a tough position, like you say. But I'm sure he'll be a future number 8 or number 10 for many years down at Cass.
Great stuff, Luke. Thank you very much for your time on this Saturday afternoon. Congratulations on the award that you've picked up as well, Super League Player of the Month for June. Fully deserved, by the way. And all the very best against Hull tomorrow. Thank you very much for speaking to us, Luke Gale.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, boys. See
thank
you.
Cheers.
Sport, music, and putting the world to rights. Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire. Sport, music, and putting the world to rights. Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
chosen by Tom and Will this afternoon. Good choice on that particular track, by the way.
That was yours, Will.
There we go. Very good track. And we will choose another one of your old school tracks to play next, Tom. Most definitely. Now, before we move on and we move on to the more light-hearted side of things, I actually want to discuss this because it's a very important bit of news that's been introduced into the RFL. And this news is that compulsory cardiac screening is going to be introduced into the top leagues by the RFL from 2016. So, of course, this following the death of Danny Jones from heart failure. It was an undetected heart defect there, and Super League clubs have now, well, they've compulsory screened the player since 2012, but now it's going to be the top three divisions within the league, which you would feel is a fantastic thing to introduce into the sport.
Yeah, 100%. Like, obviously, that was an absolute tragedy what happened, and it was such, like, it just sort of opened everyone's eyes to, like, the serious effects that it can have. So, yeah, I think it's probably a fantastic idea just to make sure everyone gets that screening, and it's a great idea from the RFL.
Yeah, most definitely, and right the way throughout the leagues as well. And it really is kind of one... kind of looking at it from the outside, I mean, when something like this happens, it generally tends to bring people closer together anyway, but there seems to be a real kind of, almost like a community spirit within rugby league.
Yeah, especially when we had that sad news and stuff, all the clubs come together and raising funds and doing loads of things, and you know, like Will said, it's opened everyone's eyes now, and that needs to be a main priority in probably every sport, really, you know. Yeah, but it'd be good if that's definitely determined to, you know, be checked every player, and yeah, it's something that needs to be done, and well, obviously it's going to be, which is good, very good.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's fans, clubs, players, and others that are involved in the sport have raised almost £250,000 to support the Jones family. So, you know, hats off to them. Hats off to them. And a good bit of news, and hopefully we can avoid any more sort of occurrences such as that. Right, let's move on, shall we? Big game tomorrow, of course. Hull, the side that we're going to be playing, it's Hull FC, of course, a big game. We've spoken about what happens during the day, how you get prepared for the game. What's the atmosphere like sort of in the changing rooms? Is there any kind of real characters there at CAS? Anybody that's sort of solely responsible for getting everybody going?
Do you mean on game day, or do you mean...
On game day.
To be fair, everyone's normally quite relaxed in the changing room. I suppose there's a few funny characters in there, you know. Everyone sat there with game faces. Someone like Denis Solomon or someone like that, you know. He's quite such a laid-back character. You know?
What a season he's had, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, you were listening to his music, you know, you can hear it through his headphones, and it's just some chilled vibe. But now, as you can see, it's working for him, isn't it? He's absolutely flying, so yeah.
And what about yourself? Have you got any kind of pre-match rituals that you like to go through? Are you in the words of Stevie Wonder, very superstitious, or...
not really. I suppose I always wear my trainer socks underneath my playing socks. I don't know if that's...
I'd say that's a superstition.
It's something that I've done now for the last 2 years. I always wear my trainer socks under me.
So the one way to determine if you are superstitious or not is to not take your trainer socks.
I always make sure they're in before, so it must me realising it is probably
to be fair, that's one of the less weird ones that I've heard. What about you, Will? Any kind of superstitions game day?
No, not really, in all honesty. I used to have a few last year, but you get a bit too stressed out with them, and I thought when I didn't do them I was fine, so I just thought, no, I'll just leave it, I'll just be nice and chilled before a game.
So what about away from game day then, when you're training and that kind of things, is it the same kind of atmosphere there, or do people's mischievous sides tend to surface a bit more?
Oh, definitely, people are much more mischievous through the week, 100%. You know, there's some real characters in the team, and it sort of just makes it a great environment, great working environment to be in. Obviously, when you're training, it's serious and it's full on, but just in that environment where you do get breaks and stuff, it's nice to just be in a place where you can have a laugh and just express yourself. Yeah.
So who's the comedian that thinks he's funny but really isn't then? I'm putting you right on the spot now, aren't I?
Who would you say? There's lots. Our conditioner, yeah. Ben Cooper, who does a fantastic job for us, but a lot of the lads, obviously, because he makes them do some tough stuff, like to get into him. So some of the older boys, us younger boys, wouldn't dare, but the likes of Andy Lynch and people like that, you know, they really like to just little sneaky comments here and there just to get under his skin, you know, but it's all fun and games.
You know, Andy Lynch, his little boy actually went to the same nursery as my little boy, and I've interviewed Andy a few times, sort of over at the other station and what have you. And I went into to this nursery. We were both there picking our lads up at the same time. And Cass had a big game. In fact, they were playing Leeds that night. It was a Friday morning that I'd gone to collect him. And generally, I like, you know, could say hey up and how you doing and stuff. And he must have had his game head on all day. You know, he must be really getting in the zone. And I walked in and he was just stood in a corner just looking purely vicious. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, you're here picking up your kids, don't scare mine. And it was like, he was fully in a zone, you know what I mean? But a lovely, lovely fella. Do you find that those older kind of players, you really take something from them, you know, when they get the game faces on? Is it something that you can kind of learn?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Will will tell you about Andy's close with him. Will's always doing extras and stuff with him, but yeah, you learn a lot from the older guys, especially who are experienced in the game, who've been a lot around for a very long time, like Lynchy. It's the great place to be around, especially when you're young. You know, it's people you look up to at most who, you know, have stuck through the game for this long and are still going. So.
And is Andy Lynch putting a sort of arm around you and sort of guiding you in the right way? Is he a bit of a mentor to you? Well, that's what I'm getting from what Tom was saying then.
Yeah, he is my mentor. I don't know. He looks after me well, but at the same time, he likes to bully me quite a lot at the same time. But no, we've got a really good pack at Cass, and a lot of them are in outstanding form. So I just try and learn little bits off all of them.
Excellent stuff. Right, we are going to try and move on and get another one of your singles on. This particular track... Yes, there it is. There it is. Now, this track has been chosen by you, Tom, and it is a bit of a classic from the Four Tops.
Oh, which... Was it
can you remember the one? It was taken from the movie Buster. If you can remember,
it's all you. I mean,
oh, was it you that chose this one, Will?
Which one?
With the Four Tops going loco and Acapulco.
Yeah, he's actually quite good on that karaoke. I've heard him on karaoke sing that. I think he only knows chorus though.
I think that's a bit.
But I'll tell you what, we'll put that to the test. I'll sneak the microphones up when we get this song going.
Sport, music, and putting the world to rights. Studs up on Radio Yorkshire.
And we are going to give our rugby league players 6 darts to try and score the highest score possible. But we are going to need a soundtrack to it, so let's get this one on. You'll be able to hear that with no headphones on. Hang on a minute. You've got to have this on when you're doing anything even darts-related. Right, there we go. We'll put that microphone up so we can hear what's going on. Right, then, it's the 6 dart challenge. Who is going to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh, here he goes. Right, then, Will Marr, prop forward. Here we go. See, look at the size, man. Right, we've got 6 darts. Here we go. It's where's that? Adjudicate. Is that a treble 9?
No.
Go on, Danny. He looks terrified. I think
I'm going to say what he said.
I think it could just be in the treble, so we'll give you 27 for that one.
Ooh. For that.
Oh, where's that one, Danny?
13.
Nine,
and another 9. So that gives you a score thus far of 49.
Oh, well.
Oh, it's a 13. 18.
Oh, we're touching that board.
Oh, and what's that?
Steady one.
It's a 1, is it? And that gives Will Mar a grand total of 81. So it's 81 to beat. Tom Holmes steps up to the hockey. Here we go. Oh, it's a treble 20 for starters. Oh, is that 2?
Oh,
I'll give you that. Plus 20. So, right, OK. Eight, that can't be right. Oh, yeah, it is.
Is that 80?
It's yeah, that's 89, oh, in fact. Yeah. So, so we know where this one's going. You could be in pole position for the record. Is that 12?
What's the record?
Just a minute. The record is 108. You're now seven behind. Oh, it's another treble 20. That's unbelievable, Techers. That's 161. Where's this last dart going? Go on, round it off with style. It's another 20, which means today's winner, with a grand total of 181 over six darts, is Tom Holmes. Well done, well done. There we go. Unfortunately, you leave with nothing more than pride and respect. But we might be able to get a little prize sorted out somewhere along the line. We'll sort some out, won't we, Danny?
Oh, yes.
So there you go. Our Rugby League six dart challenge sees Tom Holmes run out winner by 100 points. Dear me. That's not bad going on. It's not as easy as it looks, is it, with a little magnetic darts and that kind of thing. Are you both a fan of the darts in general?
Yeah, I'd love to go and watch the darts. I think it'd be good. You've got a dart board in my bedroom, so...
I've got one in my dining room, actually. yeah. I'm not right good at it. Well, I'm pretty good. I've managed, I think, maybe three 180s in the entirety of my darting career.
I've never even hit a 180, me.
Oh, right. Oh, well, there you go, then. I'm brilliant, me. I nearly swore then. That was really, really close. 12 minutes away now from 6 o'clock. We spoke to John from Feverovers earlier on, and they've got a darts night that's happening pretty quick. I think it's all been sold out now, but it's Eric Bristow and Wayne Mardle are going to be up there playing. Who's your favourite darts players? If you could go to watch one particular player, who would it be?
I'm not too sure. I don't know. Taylor's always been good, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome, isn't he?
That might be the only darts player I know. I know. Definitely Taylor.
Phil Taylor, yeah. Raymond van Barneveld.
Yeah.
I do like Barney. Mm. Very good player. There's so many, isn't there, that are quality. What about you, Danny?
I'm a Gerwin fan. Van Gerwin.
Michael Van Gerwin. He's something else, isn't he?
That one. Really is,
He is, but he's a little bit of an odd-looking fellow, but he's all right. He's all right. Right, 11 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Let's get some more music on. And this one is...
Post-match chatter with Lee Nicholson. It's Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
We're going to be checking in on our guests' presentation skills. We're going to see how they fare, Danny. It's not that easy, is it?
No, it ain't.
No, it's not, especially when you put on the spot. So we're going to see how they fare. First up, thank you very much for coming down today, Will. The last track that you would like to hear on Studs Up today is...
Yep, this is Same Jeans by The Vuke.
Post-match chatter with Lee Nicholson. It's Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
It's a fantastic choice from Will. It is The View and Same Jeans. Very good choice. Very good choice indeed. Right then, let's move on and let's find out how your presentation skills are. Mr. Holmes, we know what you like with arrows in hand, but what you like introducing records. Here you go.
Here's a bit of Bob Marley. Could You Be Loved?
That's all right, actually, is that...
Sport, music, and putting the world to rights. Studs Up on Radio Yorkshire.
Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for coming in and having a chat and for presenting the show with us. You've both done a fantastic job. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves.
Yeah.
And you are more than welcome to come back anytime you so desire.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck tomorrow against Hull and good luck with the rest of your careers, gents.
Thank you very much, Nell.
It's been a pleasure.
Really enjoyed it.